The book of Hosea, we're in chapter 2 today. Lord, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Hosea chapter 2 verse 1, God says, "Say of your brothers, my people, and of your sisters, my loved one." Now, we saw in chapter 1 that God had declared that Israel was going to be punished because of their sin and the refusal to repent. So they would be punished and scattered by God. But remember, last time that chapter 1 ended with a message of hope from God. And here in verse 1, God reinforces that message of hope. And it is fulfilled. Whenever an Israelite turns to Jesus Christ, they once again become the people of God. And then in verse 2 it says, "Rebuke your mother, rebuke her, for she is not my wife, and I am not her husband. Let her remove the adulterous look from her face, and the unfaithfulness from between her breasts." God is saying that he doesn't want to be Israel's husband anymore. She's been unfaithful, and she won't quit. Now, God doesn't want the marriage to come to an end. He wants his wife Israel to change her ways and to return to him. Verse 3, "Otherwise I will strip her naked and make her as bare as on the day she was born. I will make her a desert, turn her into a parched land, and slay her with thirst." God wants Israel back, but God is also the judge. So if she doesn't repent, he's going to make her pay for her sins. 4. "I will not show my love to her children, because they are the children of adultery. Their mother has been unfaithful, and she has conceived them in disgrace. She said, 'I will go after my lovers, who give me my food and my water, my wool and my linen, my oil and my drink.'" You know, when Israel first became a nation, they needed God, and they knew they needed God. They were poor, weak slaves down in Egypt. But after they grew and they became strong, they rejected God. They went after other lovers. In other words, they were not true to the Lord. They started worshiping idols. 6, "Therefore I will block her path with thorn bushes. I will wall her in so that she cannot find her way." In other words, God will punish Israel. She has abused her freedom, so now she will lose her freedom. She will not be allowed to do what she wants to do anymore. Verse 7, "She will chase after her lovers, but not catch them. She will look for them, but not find them. Then she will say, 'I will go back to my husband, as at first, for then I was better off than now.'" God will allow his people, who have trusted gods other than the Lord God, to go through hard times. They will learn that their good time gods are useless. Consequently, Israel will then return to the Lord when they finally wake up. Verse 8, "She has not acknowledged that I was the one who gave her the grain, the new wine and oil, who lavished on her the silver and the gold which they used for Baal." God blessed Israel with bountiful crops. She then took God's blessings and offered them in worship to her false gods. How do you like that for a slap in the face? And I wonder how much of the good that God graciously gives us is used in a way that offends him. Verse 9, "Therefore I will take away my grain when it ripens, and my new wine when it is ready. I will take back my wool and my linen intended to cover her nakedness." God will take back what is his in the first place. He will reverse the blessings that he gave to Israel. If Israel isn't thankful to God, if they don't give him credit, well then God will stop blessing. He'll stop giving until they wake up. That's what he's saying. And he says in verse 10, "So now I will expose her lewdness before the eyes of her lovers. No one will take her out of my hands." And that's exactly what happened. While other nations watched God Israel into some real trouble. Actually, they got themselves into some real trouble, but God allowed it to happen. While other nations watched on, God brought Israel very low. He exposed her to open disgrace and embarrassment as he allowed nations to conquer her. Verse 11, I will stop all her celebrations, her yearly festivals, her new moons, her Sabbath days, all her appointed feasts. And so the religious festivals, which Israel celebrated as a ritual, but not from her heart, would cease. They had become a joke, really. And so God will put a stop to them completely. 12, I will ruin her vines and her fig trees, which she said were her pay from her lovers. I will make them a thicket, and wild animals will devour them. Israel gave credit for her produce to her false gods instead of to the Lord from whom they came. And as a result, God will see to it that her crops will fail. 13. I will punish her for the days she burned incense to the Baals. She decked herself with rings and jewelry and went after her lovers, but me she forgot, declares the Lord. And so that's exactly what Israel did. She perverted the religious holy days, which were instituted by God for the worship of him. And instead, they used those occasions to worship their false gods. 14. Therefore, I am now going to allure her. I will lead her into the desert and speak tenderly to her. And don't you get a picture of God's heart in this verse? Yes, God will punish Israel, but he will do it in love. She will lose everything. And then when she has nothing to distract her, God will speak kindly to Israel and invite her to return to him. 15. There I will give her back her vineyards and will make the valley of Achor a door of hope. There she will sing as in the days of her youth, as in the days she came up out of Egypt. And so when Israel recognizes that Jesus Christ is their Messiah and their Savior, they will turn to him, and they will experience the same remarkable joy that they felt when God first brought them out of Egypt. 16. In that day, declares the Lord, you will call me my husband. You will no longer call me my master. And that day, here in verse 16, refers to the church age that we are in right now. Each and every time an Israelite turns to Jesus Christ, they experience a genuine love for the Lord. 17. I will remove the names of the Baals from her lips. No longer will their names be invoked. When they discover Jesus, they will not have a taste for idols any longer. Verse 18. In that day, I will make a covenant for them with the beasts of the fields, and the birds of the air, and the creatures that move along the ground. Bow and sword and battle I will abolish from the land, so that all may lie down in safety. Nature will one day not be a threat to God's people. God will give his people a world of harmony and a world without war. That goes for both Jews and Gentiles who become his people through the Lord Jesus Christ. 19. I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you in righteousness and justice, in love and compassion. God will make them his people in righteousness, the Bible says. I will make you my people in righteousness. In other words, through the cross of Christ, which enables people who receive Jesus to stand before God righteous, they will be reconciled to God. And the whole works, from start to finish, is a product of God's compassion. 20. I will betroth you in faithfulness, and you will acknowledge the Lord. Faithfulness means dependable. Under the new covenant, through which one is saved by faith in Christ, you can depend on God. You can depend on him to keep his part of the deal. As long as we want him, He wants us. 21. On that day, I will respond, declares the Lord. I will respond to the skies, and they will respond to the earth. When someone responds to God's offer of mercy through Jesus Christ, he responds to their response. 22. And the earth will respond to the grain, the new wine and oil, and they will respond to Jezreel, the Israelites who become his children through Christ, will experience great blessings through Jesus Christ, along with the Gentiles who turn to Christ. 23. I will plant her for myself in the land. I will show my love to the one I called, not my loved one. Let me read that again. I will plant her for myself in the land. I will show my love to the one I called, not my loved one. I will say to those called, not my people, you are my people. And they will say, you are my God. And you see this mutual love between God and his people. And this is what happens. Throughout the church age, it happens, it has happened, and it continues to happen. Men and women from all over the world who formerly had not experienced God's mercy experience it through Jesus Christ. God offers salvation through the cross of Christ. And when one receives it, they are awakened by the Holy Spirit to the fact that God is their God. And they know there's only one God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's this wonderful new covenant that God establishes between us, sinful man, and himself. And it is a covenant that has been ratified through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which he shed on the cross. And we'll pick it up in chapter 3 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.